We may turn to the chapter of God's word that we read together in the prophecy of Hosea, chapter 14. And we may read just now at verse 5. Verse 5. I will be as the Jew unto Israel. He shall grow as the lily, and cast forth his roots as Lebanon. And especially, as the Lord would be pleased to help us, we would like to consider the words that you will find at the beginning of verse 5. I will be as the Jew unto Israel. Well, the words of this chapter are very precious to those who feel wounded and bruised in their hearts and in their consciences on account of sin. And it is a call, as we've noticed previously, to sinners in the Church of God in Israel, sinners today in the Church of God, sinners everywhere, to return to the Lord. And the Lord is exhorting us to plead with him that he would do that for us. He tells us the very terms in which we are to approach him. We are to draw near to him, saying, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. That is the Lord's own directions for those who are to pray to him for a spirit of repentance, for the forgiveness of sin. The Lord is giving us the very terms. And those who have that prayer, those who are seeing their need of repentance, are brought, as we see in verse 3, to renounce any confidence in the flesh. They're not leaning upon themselves, they're not leaning on any other, but the Lord alone. Asher shall not save us, the Assyrians, who were the great power at that time, and they will not ride upon horses, that represents Egypt. They will not go back to their idols. Neither will we say any more to the work of our hands, ye are our gods. But this is made precious to the soul who is returning to the Lord. In thee the fatherless findeth mercy. There is mercy and there is forgiveness with this God, who is a father to the fatherless, and who is the widow's stay. And he promises in verse 4, I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. These are very precious words indeed for sin-sick souls who long to be delivered from sin and who long for cleansing and healing and restoration from the ruin and the destruction that sin brings. Here the Lord is addressing such. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely. For mine anger is turned away from him. As we try to notice, it's all on the foundation of the finished work of Christ, who was yet to come in Hosea's time, but now has come and has done all things well. And on the foundation of his blood, his righteousness, God's anger is turned away. That's why the psalmist was saying, thou hast turned from thy wrath's furiousness. That's a very wonderful thing, if we have a hope that the Lord has turned from the fury of his wrath against our sin. As Isaiah says, though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Well, the Lord here in the words of our text in verse 5, I will be as the Jew unto Israel. And you know that in Israel, the people, they tended to think of spiritual things in pictures. They used pictures from the natural world to help them to understand spiritual matters. And here we have a picture of something very wonderful. The dew that falls upon the ground to illustrate how the Lord revives the soul that is being healed, the soul that is brought to repentance, the soul that is turned from their iniquity. And the Lord promises here that he will do this work. He will accomplish in their souls what the dew does to the ground of the earth. This is a very beautiful picture. I will be as the dew unto Israel. And the dew was especially important in Israel of old because it was, as you know, a dry climate, rather arid, a hot country. And when the psalmist there in Psalm 63 was comparing his soul to a dry, parched land wherein no waters be, the Lord's people in Israel of old could enter into that very readily. The picture was so apparent to them. And therefore, what a wonderful promise you have here from the Lord, that he himself will so come down upon his people in mercy that he will accomplish their invigoration and their reviving and their healing in the same marvelous way that the Jew in Israel was bringing forth a harvest and fruit to the praise of God's glory as the creator and the sustainer of life. He would do that spiritually. And you see in the following words of the verse and on into verses 6 and 7, you see the fruit of that. But we haven't time to go into that on this occasion. But two things, we would bring before you, and then a third point of application. The first thing we would seek to notice is the withering effect of backsliding. The withering effect of backsliding. That's the context in which these words are found. It's addressing those who have dried up themselves spiritually on account of their sin. And then in the second place, we have the promise of spiritual reviving. That's what's implied in these words. I will be as the Jew unto Israel. It's a promise of spiritual reviving. Well, a few words briefly, first of all, about the withering effect of the sin of backsliding. And all sin grieves the Holy Spirit. All sin has that tendency to grieve the Holy Spirit. And when sin is committed by one of the Lord's people, they are committing sin against light, they're sinning against privilege, they're sinning against experience of the Lord's goodness and mercy, and they're sinning against knowledge of and experience of God in their own hearts. And for a believer to sin willfully against God and to backslide from following the Lord fully in their hearts and in their lives is a great sin. And it brings the believer into a great place of danger. There's no extent to which one of the Lord's people will go in sin if they are left to themselves for a very limited period of time. It doesn't take a long period for all the evil that is in the heart to break out. And the sin of turning away from the Lord, it grievously provokes the Holy Spirit to leave the soul for a time under the power of sin, under the power of the temptation, under the power and influence of the wicked one, the tempter. And that's an exceedingly dangerous place to be. And this brings the soul into a spiritual wilderness, into a waste, howling wilderness, into a dry, parched land, into a desert, wherein no waters be. That's the very definition of a desert, of a wilderness, a place where there is no rainfall, a place where there is no moisture. Nothing grows in the wilderness. There's no fruit, there's no harvest, there's no cultivation. It's desolate. And that is how the believer feels when they have fallen into sin. They have no fruit unto holiness that they can put their hand on as an evidence of the presence of the Lord in their souls. They have no felt sense of comfort. They feel themselves to be withered up with regard to the exercise of faith and love and the practice of holiness. That's the picture we have there in Ezekiel, in the valley of dry bones. And behold, they were exceeding dry. They were very dry. And that's how the believer feels when they have fallen into sin, whatever sin that may be. You have it there over the page in Joel, in the prophecy of Joel. In chapter 1 and at verse 12, the vine is dried up and the fig tree languisheth. The pomegranate tree, the palm tree also, and the apple tree. Even all the trees of the field are withered, because joy is withered away from the sons of men. And again, in the prophecy of Amos, you have there in chapter 4 a threatening from the Lord to a sinful, backslidden nation. And it says there, chapter 4 of Amos, and at verse 6, "And I also have given you cleanness of teeth in all your cities, and want of bread in all your places. Yet have you not returned unto me, saith the Lord. And also I have withholden the rain from you, when there were yet 3 months to the harvest, and I caused it to rain upon one city, and caused it not to rain upon another city. One piece was rained upon, and the piece whereupon it rained not withered. So two or three cities wandered unto one city to drink water, but they were not satisfied. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord." That's a picture of the Lord's judgments upon the nation of Israel. Picture of the Lord's judgments upon the church in general. And the Lord's people feel that with regard to the cause of Christ, but they also feel it with regard to their own souls. The showers of blessing have been withholden because of sin. And fruitfulness withers away where there is the practice of sin. We read of the barren fig tree cumbering the ground. And we read of the Lord looking for grapes upon his own vine tree, in the church, upon his people, that there would be fruit, that there would be holiness, that there would be obedience, that there would be the likeness of God's image seen in their lives. But no, they bring forth wild grapes, not true fruit, but that which is evil. This is what backsliding does. This is why the Lord's people must pray to be kept. Is that your prayer tonight, that the Lord will keep you from the evil in your own heart, that the Lord will keep you from the sin that doth so easily beset you? Everyone has a predominant sin. Whatever that sin may be, whatever way that the evil of your nature, the evil of your heart leads you, there is a predominant tendency toward particular sins in the heart of every one of us. And if we're left to ourselves, as we've already said, a very short period of time, there's no telling how far in sin that you or I will go unless we are kept. Well then, are these words not very precious? "I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him, I will be as the Jew unto Israel. We cannot turn ourselves. We cannot obtain the forgiveness of sins until the Lord enables us to trust in Christ anew. Remember what Robert Murray McChain used to say. He found when sin, it was on his conscience, that the last thing he would do, it would be to run to the Lord with his sin. He wanted to run away from the Lord. The Lord's anger, it was felt in his conscience. But he said it should be the other way about. It should be like the weights of a clock. The pendulum on a clock runs faster the heavier the weights are. And how faith is needed, to run to the Lord with the burden of a guilty conscience, with the burden of a felt sense of one's own iniquity and transgression, backsliding. Are you feeling your coldness? Are you feeling your darkness? Are you feeling scorched by the law of God condemning you for sin in your conscience? Well, here, dear friend, is a very precious promise for a sinner such as you. Here is a very encouraging promise to a poor, backsliding believer. Also, I will be as the Jew unto Israel. Now, that brings us in the second place to the promise of spiritual reviving. I will be as the Jew. I will do it. I will be what the Jew is to the ground, to the souls of a penitent, humbled, pleading for mercy sinner. Jew was very important in Israel, where the rainfall is much lower than in our country. And no harvest could be produced in that land unless the Lord would send Jew in lieu of rain. And the Jew largely came from the sea, from the Mediterranean Sea. That was the main source of the Jew, and thereby the crop and the harvest. And the Lord himself is saying here, I will be as the Jew. It is my presence. It is my presence. It is my mercy. It is my work. It is my activity that is going to make all the difference. It is my presence being restored to the soul in the gracious way of healing that is going to revive the soul that is burdened by their departure sinfully from the Lord. Now, remember when Isaac was blessing his sons. A very, very important part of the blessing that Isaac pronounced, which he intended for Esau, but came upon Jacob instead. It was there, you have it in Genesis 27, therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven, and the fatness of the earth, and plenty of corn and wine. The dew of heaven was needed if there was to be a restoration of fruit and blessing in the land, and in the land of your soul. Radical moisture. That is needed if there's to be life. You can't have life in the vegetable world, in the plant world, without radical moisture, the roots of the plant being watered. And you can't have life in the soul. You can't have spiritual life. You can't have it by coming in the first place without the work of the Holy Spirit in the new birth. And where it is, and where it has been obscured as a result of sin, and where there's been a wounding and a falling into transgression, it can't be restored until the Holy Spirit is poured out as a precious dew from the Lord upon the soul. We are hearing in the prayer about abiding in the true vine. I will be as the Jew unto Israel. I am the true vine. Without my influence, without union being felt, without communion being restored in the soul, whether for the first time in conversion, or whether after many times in the healing of the backsliding believer, whether it's for the first time or after many times, it's the same power and influence, the presence of the Lord himself, personally, through the work of the Holy Spirit, reviving his work in the heart. That is what is being promised here. What a wonderful thing that is. Now he says, as you may remember, I will, in chapter 6 of Hosea, that he would come as the morning, as the former and the latter rain. As the former and the latter rain, his goings forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. Whether it's rain and showers and rivers and streams that are pictured, or whether it's a dew, when there doesn't seem to be much felt rain from heaven, only the Lord can restore life in the soul. That's the point. And he is promising here to do it. Now, you remember a very precious picture we have of the Lord reviving his people and the Lord's influence, the influence of the Holy Spirit, doing this in the heart. You have it there in Deuteronomy, as in other places of the Word of God. You have it in chapter 32 of Deuteronomy. The Lord promises, my doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. My doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall distill as the dew. It's through the Word of God, with the blessing of the Holy Spirit. That's what revives the heart. That's what brings the sense of the mercy of God into the soul. That's where the sinner coming to Christ for the first time is going to get a meeting with Christ. It's in his word with the Holy Spirit blessing it to your soul, mixing it with faith in your heart. Just like the soil, it can't produce for any fruit until the soil is moisture. The moisture is put into the soil. The soil has to be fertilized if the seed is to bring forth to life. And that is what the Savior was speaking about the ground being made good in the parable of the sower. The seed is sown. We're sowing the seed. And only the Holy Spirit can bless it with the rain coming down from heaven or the dew coming down from heaven. And that is what you have here. I will be as the dew unto Israel. The doctrine of the word distilling as dew in the heart. Remember the precious promise that we have in Isaiah's prophecy, chapter 55, where he says that his word will not return unto him void. He shall accomplish that which he pleases and prosper in the thing whereto he sent it. And then it goes on to speak of the rain coming down from heaven and the snow returning not thither. What does it go on to say? It watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that there will be seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. When the Holy Spirit blesses the word, there will be life, and there will be reviving, and there will be fruit found. Now, if we think of the Jew more particularly for a few moments, what is special about the Jew? We might think of a number of things that we can say about Jew which help us to understand how the Holy Spirit revives grace in the heart. And the first thing we notice about the Jew is that it is a hidden influence. It's a hidden influence. You never saw the dew falling. It's imperceptible. It can't be seen until it's there. You never saw the dew distilling. What's actually happening is that the surface, the thin surface of grass or a leaf or something like that, is cooling down. And the moisture that's in the atmosphere condenses. It was vapor during the day when the warmth is in the atmosphere. But when the temperature drops, the dew falls, the drops condense. They turn into liquid. They turn from gas into liquid. But we can't see that happening. We see the effect of it. We can understand the process. But we can't actually visualize it. And that helps us. That's an illustration of the work of God's Holy Spirit in the heart. Remember what the Savior said to John, to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, about using the picture of the wind on that occasion. The wind bloweth where it listeth. Thou hearest the sound thereof, but thou canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. It's a mysterious work, just as you cannot see the wind, but you see the direction that the tree is blowing. You can't see the work of the Holy Spirit. The dew drop being formed, you cannot see it until it's there. You can't see the direction the life is going until it starts to follow Christ. You can't see the work of the Holy Spirit. You only see it by its results. This is a hidden work. It's between the Lord and the soul. As the old divines put it, with regard to the work of regeneration, it actually happens below the level of our consciousness. The soul is brought in effectual calling to experience that when they're convinced and they're converted, when they believe in Christ, when they turn in repentance from all their sin. But the work of the Holy Spirit takes place secretly to enable that to happen. And it happens quickly. The work of the Holy Spirit is instantaneous. There's something we must always grasp. When the Holy Spirit works in a heart, whether it's in the way of regeneration or whether it's in the way of reviving, he works powerfully, he works irresistibly, and he works suddenly. And we have an illustration of that in 2 Samuel, when Hushai the Archite was giving his advice to Absalom. And he was telling Absalom to delay. And he said concerning David that he would come on them like the dew. 2 Samuel chapter 17 and at verse 12. And David would be like the dew coming on to the earth. We will light upon him as the dew falleth on the ground. The dew falleth on the ground quickly. It's there. But this is a work that takes place when the temperature is low and when the light is low. That's when you see the dew. You don't see the dew in the middle of the day when the sun is high. You see the dew when the sun is low and about to disappear and when the temperature correspondingly is low. And I will be as the dew unto Israel. Perhaps you're here tonight and you're feeling that the spiritual temperature in your soul is very low and that your light is very darkened on account of sin, on account of your own ignorance. And you can't get access to the Son of Righteousness, and you can't get access to the promises in your experience, and you feel that your soul is hard, harder than the nether millstone. That's the very time the dew falls. That should be an encouragement. That even the backslidings, even the coldness, even the sins of the Lord's people, the Lord is able to make all these evil things, even these things, to redound to his glory. all things, even the worst things, it shall work together for good for them who love God and to them who are the called according to his purpose. And however cold and dark and scorched and withered and fruitless you feel yourself to be tonight, you're not too far gone, dear friend, for the dew that comes down from heaven to restore life into your soul or to bring it in for the first time. That's what we have there in Psalm 133. The dew of Hermon commanding the blessing. God himself commanding the blessing. Life that shall never end. Have you come to this? That unless the Lord will give me life in my soul, unless the Lord will revive life in my soul, there will be no life, there will be no blessing, there will be no fruit. But let him come down, let him do it. Let him bless his word. Let him reveal Christ to my soul for the first time or after many times. And then there will be life. Life that shall never end. This is the blessing that the Lord alone commands. I will be the dew unto Israel. It's a mysterious work. It's a sudden work. It's a vital work. And it's a hopeful work. It's a hopeful work. The Lord accomplishing his promise that he will be as the dew to Israel. That should give us hope that there will be a harvest, that there will be fruit, that he can do this, and that he is promising that he will do it. It should give us encouragement to plead that he would do it for you and for me and for multitudes. I will restore comforts unto him. That's his promise. He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, we must briefly, finally, put these things to the point of testing. Do we know this reviving? Do we have the experience of this? There's a great question for every one of us. Have you got the prayer? Wilt thou not us revive? Show us thy mercy, Lord. To us do thy salvation give. In Isaiah chapter 26, the church is given a great promise there. Thy dead men shall live, together with my dead body shall they arise. That's a promise of renewed life, and it extends even to the raising of the bodies of the dead out of the dust of the earth. Thy dew shall be as the dew of herbs, it goes on to say, chapter 26 of Isaiah. A very, very wonderful promise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust, for thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. If you feel yourself to be a dead carcass, full of sin, dead works, there is a promise suited to you. Thy dew shall be as the dew of herbs. What does your soul say to that? Are you going out pleading when you hear it that the Lord would do that for you? How will I know? How will I know that the Lord is doing this for me? Well, when grace is revived in the heart, all the exercises of the soul are enlivened and quickened. Quicken me according to thy word. The grace of faith embraces the promise. The Lord is saying he's going to be due unto Israel. Well, he can be that to me on the sure foundation of the finished work of Christ. I will wait for him. I will plead for it. I will search the scriptures till he fulfill this promise, till I get a view of Christ by faith. That's the soul, that's life in the soul going out after Christ in the promise. You cannot say that you're entirely withered if you have that desire tonight. And faith works by love. And though you have embraced idols and you have loved idols, you've gone after idols, but do you not desire it to love Christ and that your heart's love would be bestowed on Christ? We come to that later on in the chapter. What have I to do anymore with idols? There's a fruit of love. That's the reviving of grace in the heart. That's the work of the Jew, making Christ precious again to the soul. And you desire that he would have all the love of your heart. And if he has all the love of your heart, then you'll hate sin. And you'll be humbled on account of your sin and your backslidings and your coldness and your darkness. And you'll be pleading that he would break off the power of sin in your heart. And if that is so, then you will be zealous against sin. That would be an evidence that the Jew has come down in your soul, that you are like the church in Corinth. What zeal, what revenge upon sin, upon the carnal nature, and what carefulness. If you're more tender concerning your sin than you ever were before on account of your backslidings, then you cannot say that there's not something of the Jew it lighting up on your spirit tonight. And if he gives you a reviving here in time, does it not revive your hope of a blessed eternity? That's the evidence that the Lord has not left you. The Lord is sustaining life. There may not be great showers of blessing. There may not be great evidences of great advances in holiness in your life. There may not be great evidence of the word of God being blessed under the preaching. We might not have great showers of blessing in our day and generation, but the Lord is keeping life alive through the Jew, through the supply of his Spirit. And if he's able to do that, if for such a sinner as you feel yourself to be, he's able to give eternal life. Thy dead men shall live. Together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake, ye that dwell in the dust, for your dew is as the dew of herbs. I will be as the dew unto Israel. Well, may the Lord give us that in our souls, whether for the first time or after many days.